I'm Darren Levy, and this is Citywide, airing every Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 8 p.m. right here on WNYU 89.1 FM New York and WNYU.org and New York University Radio. Citywide features insight from some of New York's most innovative artists. Today we will be talking with D.C. Pearson. He is one of the directors of Hammercats of NYU. This sketch comedy group is made up of NYU students. And now here to talk with us is D.C.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Citywide, D.C.
Oh, no problem, man.
So can you tell us about the Hammercats?
Okay, well, Hammercats NYU is a sketch comedy group that was founded, the club was founded about 3.5 years ago now. And basically what it is a group that's dedicated to putting on free monthly shows for the NYU community, and it's all new sketch comedy material every month.
Great. So are only NYU students allowed to come to the event?
No, everyone's allowed to come. We perform at the Kimmel Center, so basically people just, if they're not NYU students, they just say, you know, I'm going to such and such activity, you know, the Hammercats show on the 8th floor, and security lets them right up, so it's not a big problem.
So did you get involved 3.5 years ago? Is that when it started?
I got involved 3 years ago, actually. The group had been around for a spring semester of 2003, and then I auditioned in the fall of 2003.
Oh. Well, how'd the audition go?
It went great. it basically is kind of how we still run auditions, which is where people come in and anyone at NYU can audition, you know, undergrad, graduate students, and they don't have to prepare anything. Basically, they just come in and they read from a sketch that, a pre-existing sketch that we've already written with some other auditioners, and everybody gets to read twice, and it's actually a lot of fun. It's a really cool experience. There's just an amazing amount of talented people at NYU, so it's always cool to see.
Yeah, when I came and saw you at one of the auditions.
Right.
Yeah, it was when you were actually auditioning. I guess a lot of the kids there, a lot of the kids I talk with, they were freshmen.
Yeah, we had a pretty overwhelming number of freshmen because we've been doing these freshman orientation shows for, I guess, this is our third year doing the freshman orientation shows. And what that is we every August we do a show as part of Welcome Week on the 10th floor of Kimmel, which is like a freshman week activity, and it's in the book and everything, and it's kind of a best of show for us, and it's really cool to perform for all these kids, you know what I mean? They're like an incredibly receptive audience. So we got a lot of sign-ups on our mailing list, and we contacted those people, and a lot of them came out to audition. So it was really cool to see.
A lot of the kids also that I spoke with, they had done things in high school. Did you do anything in high school when you were for comedy?
Yeah, I sure did. I did a bunch of theater. Like, if you talk to anybody in the comedy community, there's about one out of every two people, or maybe even more than that, is a former like high school theater kid, and I definitely was one of those. And then also I guess like found it or something like that. I don't know. My memory is very misty. But like our high school's short form improv group, which I think every high school has in one form or another. So I was in charge of our particular, you know, troupe, I guess. So yeah, I did some comedy in high school.
I founded the chess club in high school.
Oh, really? How did that go?
It didn't go so well.
Oh, they don't still remember your name in the hallowed halls of Chessdom?
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
But anyway. you know, how do you decide who's funny enough to go on and be a part of the Hammercats, you know, at the audition? What are you looking for, I guess?
Right. Well, it's not so much like, is someone funny enough? Because we're looking for a very specific sort of skill set, I guess you could say. It has a lot less to do with, like, kind of being like funny and wacky and just sort of doing a strange character than it does taking like a piece of material, which might be a sketch in which, I don't know, like one of the sketches that we did at the audition is a basically guess who's coming to dinner, but it's an abstract son bringing his surrealist girlfriend home to dinner, and his parents, you know, strongly disapprove because they hate surrealist people. They're racist against surrealists. And so sort of taking that and playing it, instead of saying, okay, this is a zany sketch, so I'm going to be zany and weird about it, playing it really real and playing to the reality of the situation, because taking a very strange situation and playing it as real as possible is always going to be funnier than sort of saying, well, this is a really strange situation, so I'm going to do about three or four more strange things in a British accent. You know what I mean?
You know Charlie Todd?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, he's a comedian, and he was on the show, and he always said when it comes to things like that, you, especially improv, he says, you know, it's all about saying yes and not no.
Yeah, exactly. It's about saying, yeah, like, how is this sketch funny, and how can I help that along and make the people that I'm in this sketch with look good, rather than how can I bring my own funniness to this sketch? How can I sort of shine in this sketch and impose my hilarity on whatever I'm doing? So I guess, yeah, it is kind of the same thing. It's more about the group effort than it is about sort of selfishness.
Do you find it difficult to turn people away after you don't feel that they, you know, you have enough people in the group and you can't accept any more?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's really brutal. You know what I mean? Just to have that in your mind is really kind of depressing, and you kind of can't even think about it, because just by the virtue of the fact that you have, I think we had something like 100, 120 kids come out, and we ended up taking 8 kids, you know what I mean? Or 7, actually. So you just right from there, from sheer math, you know, you just can get really depressed, because, like, we have to turn all these great, talented kids away. And like I said, it's always astounding to just see how good, you know, some of these people are. It's really incredible. It's amazing. So, yeah, it is. It does get in your head a little bit, but you just kind of can't think about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be able to, you know, do your job.
Do you help out in the writing process when you're working with the Hammercats?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're the director, correct?
Right. The director and the director in, and then my assistant director is a sophomore named Rachel Bloom. She actually auditioned last year, and she's assistant director now because she's amazing. And basically, in Hammercats, the director also sort of serves as like head writer and is really guiding kind of the group through the writing process and sort of writing with everyone. And we have usually about 2 writers' meetings before the show ever even happens, and people are working on each other's stuff and pitching different ideas, and everybody's kind of getting on the same page about everything. So I definitely am involved in a lot of the writing, and we do pride ourselves on really top quality writing, because it doesn't matter, you know, how, I guess, funny someone is, if the material is not there, then the show's not going to be there. So we really try to have great writing, and I think that we have. I'm pretty proud of us.
Great.
Sound totally unhumble.
Well, do you have a writing process?
Yeah, we've been trying something new this year, and it's been going pretty well. Basically, what happens is, and this is a process that was invented by Matt Besser of the Upright Citizens Brigade, a process for sketch writing. Basically, what happens is everybody brings in, if you have, like, let's say somebody has an idea for a sketch, instead of going and writing out the whole sketch, which might be, say, 3 to 5 pages, what they do is they write 1 page, and just the first page of what that sketch would theoretically be. And so on that 1 page, they ideally want to have gotten out what the idea or the premise of the sketch is, and make the reader, you know, make it easy for the reader to see, okay, I could see why this would be funny, and I could think of 3 or 4 different beats of the sketch and how it would go and grow and heighten. But it's just writing that first page. And then we have a writer's meeting where everybody brings in these first pages, and we go around and we read them, and we pitch, you know, sort of ideas of where these sketches could go and different ideas. And it's really cool. It really gets you out of your head and makes it a more collaborative process. And it also makes you more motivated to write stuff. You know, oh, well, I only have to write 1 page instead of writing, you know, 3 to 5 pages that I'm going to end up getting married to. And since we're all naturally, you know, lazy people, it really sort of helps get more material out there if you only have to write 1 page.
I bet those writer meetings are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, they're just a gas. It's just, I it's a lot of shouting and a lot of yelling, but in a good way, in a positive yelling. There's been a lot of the meetings, and it's interesting how that's a sort of skill set unto itself, is being in a writer's room and pitching stuff and being sort of confident in your idea but not married to it. And it's really interesting, and I like to think that, you know, the kids now that are in the group are going to be walking away from NYU with that skill in them, even though they might not know it.
It sounds like it's, you know, even better than like a class would be on something like this.
Basically, like kind of the motto of the group or the thing, the idea that we have in our head moving forward is that we want to be the new National Lampoon, which is, you know, the Harvard comedy publication that in like the 60s and 70s and 80s, all these SNL writers and SNL performers and all these Simpsons writers, you know, Conan O'Brien and a bunch of other comedy people were coming out of and basically could go into the actual entertainment industry and already know a bunch of people because, like, oh, all these Lampoon guys know each other. And as they were moving forward through the industry, people, you know, and they would go into interviews and stuff, people would know them, like, oh, you're a Lampoon guy. Like, and that already sort of just said, okay, this kind of guy, this guy kind of knows how to write, you know, comedy. And we kind of want to be that. We are a club, and we put on, you know, shows that we really have fun with and that we really enjoy, and we really love interacting with the audience, having people come out, and it's just a great time all around. But we also do kind of want to be a school for comedy, basically.
You're listening to Citywide on WNYU 89.1 FM New York. I'm Darren Levy, and I'm talking with D.C. Pearson, who is the director of the NYU Hammercats, a sketch comedy group. So, as the director, what's your favorite part of your job?
You don't have to be acting all the time. Sometimes you can just sit back. You can just sort of sit back and watch, and it's a lot easier. You can kind of jump in, and also you could be eating food and directing at the same time. It's very easy, basically. And it's fun to like see an idea through from the very beginning to the show in a month. You know what I mean? And having the show come together and all the sort of crises and problems and I guess triumphs that are inherent in that is you know super super satisfying.
So what's the most difficult part of your job?
I guess trying to give a note, or for non theater terms, sort of give a criticism or a comment or give somebody a place to go without having them take it sort of personally or sort of have that note put them in their head to where they're thinking about it all the time and it's only going to make them less capable to do their jobs, like giving them a note in a positive way that's going to make it fun for them to try to take it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you find it hard to take notes sometimes yourself?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely, especially where you don't know when you don't know what the note means, and I tend to be, and you probably could tell, kind of a rambling guy, so sometimes I feel like if I'm giving a note, I might take it for granted that I know what I'm talking about, but the person I'm giving it to might not necessarily, and that's frustrating. So I always have to sort of check myself and make sure that I'm being, you know, clear.
When you were first starting out, and the director would give you notes,
mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it was the same problem. Like you might not necessarily understand what the note is, or you might disagree with it. Like, you know, getting notes isn't necessarily fun, but then when you take the note and you actually do it and you get it right and it works better than whatever you were doing and you feel it, it's a really good feeling.
Yeah, that's a common thing. I've spoken to a lot of writers and they always say, you know, whenever I go into edit note meetings or something, or edit meetings, yeah. I get edit notes, it drives me crazy and I take it really personally.
Right, yeah. And you just sort of have to, and so, you know, sometimes, they're probably right, sometimes maybe it does come from a personal place, you know, sometimes it might come from a hurtful place, but we always try to keep our notes, like, really positive and really about the work, I guess.
So, besides sketch comedy, mm-hmm. Have you tried any other types of comedy, improv or stand-up?
Yeah, I've taken classes at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater for about two and a half years now, and I was in an improv group my freshman year with a lot of other people who were also in Hammercats called Danger Box, which is a long-form improv group on campus, which is still around, and they're awesome and amazing, and I recommend that people check them out. And I've also recently in the past year started doing some stand-up and kind of solo character pieces and stuff like that.
Cool. Which one do you find the hardest?
That's really interesting. Stand-up is pretty mortifying because it's just you and your material and sort of nothing else and besides the audience. And so that's always really mortifying. And improv is, you know, can also be pretty I don't know, intimidating, I guess, because you're making it up as you go, you know what I mean? And when you take all these classes, it's so easy to be sort of in your head about what's the right thing to do, what's the right move. But that's just really an experience thing. You sort of grow out of it after a certain point, or at least I'm told that you do. So,
do you have any tips for someone who wants to become a comedian?
Well, I'm sort of assuming that if somebody's listening to this, they're in New York, in which case I would say you're already about 90% there, because the city is just this incredibly rich place full of opportunities as far as comedy goes. And especially the comedy scene right now is really, really outstanding. And I would recommend the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater as like the sort of mecca of, I guess, underground comedy. It's kind of like, and I'm not the first to make this comparison, and it's kind of pretentious, but I'll go ahead and make it anyway. It's kind of like being at CBGB's in like the 70s, only for, you know, comedy nerds. You just see all these people who you know are going to be huge stars. It's only a matter of time until somebody discovers them, but they're here, like in a basement, like right now. So people should definitely check out the UCB Theater, because it's just an amazing place for comedy and improv and sketch and classes and all that stuff. There's a couple other ones, actually, and they're both, there's the Pit and there's the Magnet Theater, and there's a lot of crossover between all the theaters and cross-pollination. A lot of great people doing a lot of great stuff at all the theaters, and they each have sort of different approaches to improv and sketch, but they're all really valid, and people should definitely check them all out, because it's an amazing time to be a comedian or to be a comedy fan.
So how did you know that comedy was something you wanted to do?
I don't know. I guess it's sort of, and you hear this a lot when you talk to like comedy people, but it sort of develops as like a defense mechanism almost in a lot of cases, because you feel like, I don't know, in my case, you know, I was like a real nerdy, bookish kid, and I was very non-social, and when I would try to be social with other kids, it would be inevitably sort of awkward. And as time went on, I started to learn, like, oh, I can make people laugh. Like, that's my thing. I kind of know how to do that. Like, I'm going to say something funny, and somebody, if they're, you know, not necessarily going to like me, but they're going to be like, oh, that's the funny kid. He does something. He's got a thing. And I think that's sort of how it develops. It develops as a way to, you know, relate to people and to sort of differentiate yourself.
So the way you were describing it, though, you said you were funny. Now, do you think that it was kind of an innate thing? I mean, you're taking all these classes, so obviously.
Right. Well, I don't think. That's interesting. It's. I guess it's not real. It's about like, because it's not about. There's no like one funny. I guess I don't know. This is a tough question. Not necessarily an innate thing, but you just develop it as sort of a way. It's just kind of the way you look at the world. You know what I mean? It's not so much about like funny or not funny. It's just sort of a specific take that you have on things, and a willingness not to take things too seriously, and then that might develop into, you know, I guess, comedic skill or something like that, and classes and all that stuff is just a way of teaching you to hone that viewpoint into a specific art form like improv or sketch comedy or something like that. Just like you might be a funny person, and then you might take a short story class that would teach you how to write, you know, short stories, and whereas you already have this comedic take on things, and this is teaching you how to translate it into this art form.
You guys at Hammercats, you use a lot of video.
Yeah. In our shows early this year, we haven't had video because we're still in the process of looking and talking to people about being our video person, basically, and directing stuff for us. And our former video director, who's graduated about a year and a half ago, Dan Ekman, has gone on to, he's the video person for the Blue Man Group, and they just went off on a big tour and stuff like that, and all the videos in the tour are his. And he also is the video director for a sketch comedy group that I'm in with a couple of other Hammercats alumni, I'm not sure the proper term, called Derek. So I guess the point of that that digression was we have a proud history of video stuff, yes.
Yeah.
But we're still looking for that person.
You probably know about all the viral videos going on the internet, you know, with YouTube.
Yep.
And I mean, you guys were doing this before YouTube. And a lot of people were doing it before YouTube. What do you think that all this video revolution has done for comedy?
Well, I know personally it was kind of cool because, and for a lot of us it was kind of cool because this, it was sort of a skill that we were already developing, like writing short, you know, 2 to 5 minute comedic pieces that can stand alone, and that's really kind of what people are looking for as far as viral video is concerned. And and at least for the moment with YouTube and MySpace and all that stuff kind of blowing up, there's some money out there for it. Entertainment, you know, businesses are trying to get into this viral thing and kind of capture it and capture lightning in a bottle, I guess. And so there's actually, you know, some development money out there for it. So it's kind of cool because it was kind of this thing, like you said, that we were already doing. So it, as far as we're concerned, it feels very sort of right place, right time.
But then also, like, a lot of people don't like it because it's just, oh, wow, you know, a monkey on the hula hoop.
Well, with this group, Derek, which is me and two other guys, with which I used to co-direct Hammercats NYU with, and Dan, our video director, it is, they're short, but we put a lot of work into them, and they are short, funny sketches, or we think they're funny, and people have responded really, really well to them. So we've been sort of encouraged. I don't think it's so much that, you know, short videos on the internet are inherently bad, just as because it's a new medium, a lot of the stuff that's out there is basically, and then, like you said, monkey, you know, smelling his own butt or whatever.
Now, I notice you keep mentioning NYU Hammercats, and there's another Hammercats out there.
Would you like to talk
how they're related?
Basically, it's a very long and complicated story, so I'll sort of give you the short version. But the first group of people to graduate from NYU Hammercats became this professional comedy group, also called Hammercats, because at the time we weren't thinking that the name crossover was going to be a problem. Myself and the two guys that I'm in this Derek group now, we're in this group, Hammercats. And we did a bunch of shows at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and we had a couple, like, six-month runs there with our sketch shows. And at a certain point, Derek, this group, and Hammercats, the professional group, sort of split off, and we're all doing our independent things now. They are still in existence and still doing shows at UCB, and we're still really good friends, and they're still sort of the family. A lot of those guys were at the auditions and stuff like that, so it's Hammercats is basically this sort of big extended family, or it's become that, which I think is kind of cool, and I hope continues.
Who are some of your influences?
I guess just like the, you know, the typical ones, like growing up watching like Monty Python and Animaniacs and Kids in the Hall and all that kind of stuff, Spinal Tap, George Carlin, like just a lot of like stand-up and sketch and yeah, I guess kind of the normal stuff. Mr. Show with Bob and David was a huge influence on Hammercats and how we do stuff and how we put together our shows.
So what does the future hold for you?
Well, hopefully making a living writing comedy. I think that's the sort of the general goal, and I think that's, at least in the short term, like the big goal, and is for a lot of people I know, just sort of trying to make a living doing this. And it looks right now like that could actually work out for a lot of us, so it's a pretty exciting time.
Where do you think that desire to make people laugh comes from?
I think what it comes down to is sort of a desire to communicate with people, because you could do a dramatic play and people could be sitting there silently and afterwards they could tell you, oh, that was great, or whatever, and then go home. But when you're doing comedy, no one can lie to you and tell you it was great if nobody was laughing. It's like, okay, I have this idea. I'm going to put it up. People are going to laugh or they're not. If they laughed, okay, great, idea received. I communicated with someone, and I know that I did, and nobody can really take that away. And if they didn't laugh, well, back to the drawing board. But when they do laugh, it's really great because you know, okay, that there is this moment of connection. I had this idea. I'm not crazy. It worked. This is really fun.
So how does it feel when you know you didn't make that connection and you just kind of...
Like dying. I mean, they call it dying for a reason. It feels a lot like death. It feels very lame. It feels like, you know, you didn't make that connection. So, but luckily, since it's live performance, you have the chance, whether it's at the late show that night or next month or next year, to sort of take that idea and, if it was worthwhile, like, try it again in a different way and see what you can fix.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to wrap up soon, but before we do, after someone goes and sees a show of NYU Hammercats, what do you want them to say? What do you want them to think?
I want them, I don't know, that's a great question. I guess I want them to, it's a free show, so I can't say I want them to have gotten their money's worth, but that was a great, you know, I think the most valuable thing in New York City for people is, like, their attention and their time, and so just hopefully they'll say that was a great use of my time. I was really glad that I went to that, and it felt like I was in a room with a bunch of people who were really having fun and enjoying what they're doing, and it was just a really entertaining show. I had a blast, and I'd like to come back, I guess.
Great. Well, I wish you the best of luck, DC. Thanks so much
great,
for joining
Aaron.
Us.
Thanks a lot for having me, man.
Hammercats NYU's next show will be January 18th. Check out their website for more information, hammercatsnyu.blogspot.com. That's hammer, KATZNYU.blogspot.com. And that's it for Citywide. I'm Darren Levy. You can email your comments about today's show to citywide@wnyu.org. Visit Citywide on the web at wnyu.org/citywide. We'll be back next week with more Arts Talk, but for now, keep it here on New York University Radio, because up next is experimental acoustic music with Heather on Outside. Thanks so much for tuning in, and from everyone here at WNYU News, have a great night.